I'm glad to see more people here than the last time. So welcome to St. Philip's United Methodist Church. It's a wonderful chilly day today. Nice sunshine. Going to be cold later this week. And now on to other news. The first thing I'd like to mention is the flowers today are given in memory of Kyle Young. Today is the 1 year of his passing. So just keep him and his family in your prayers today. We have on the photography session, you've seen Bertha out there. We've had some emails going on. We've adjusted the slide. They've added a date. So March 25th, which I think is a Monday from 2 to 9, has been added as a date. So if you were having trouble meeting the spring break week, you've now got another alternative to sign up after the services. Let's see. On the weekly calendar section, I don't know how often y'all look at that. Abby, we've put office hours on there. These are the hours you should be able to count on somebody being here. Abby's adjusted her schedule for her current semester. So on Mondays, it's 8 to 4 between her and Misty. Tuesdays will be 12 to 5. Wednesday, we've got no scheduled office hours. Now, I know Renee comes in, but it's not really scheduled. And if he has to go to a hospital or do visitation. So just want to let y'all know what the expectation is. If y'all are going to, hey, run up to the church for a few minutes, call first and double check to make sure somebody's going to be here if it's outside of this time. Thursday, 12 to 5, and we're not going to show any scheduled hours on Friday. But there might be somebody here. So, all right. And tonight we have our concert. Do not look at the street sign, or if you looked at it when you drove in, it had the wrong date. It's still tonight at 5 p.m., right, Carol?
Yes.
But tonight's not the 28th. But the sign's already been fixed, so that's good. So, Eric, it's tonight. Don't forget. In case he was planning on the 28th, that could be a problem. Let's see. And I think Renee's got an announcement. I can hear him.
No, did you cover everything? Did you cover the photo directory? Did you say Bertha's going to be out there? Where's Bertha?
Bertha's in the
there
back.
There she is.
She's in her spot.
Right, and if memory serves you right, Bertha, you told me that we're filling up pretty fast. We're asking for an extra day, is that correct?
We got it.
Okay, so great. Okay, great.
Right. And Bertha knows where most of y'all live, so if you don't sign up, she's going to be getting a hold of you. Thank you. All right.
Yeah. I think that's all I have. Thanks. I was trying to do some business real quick. So I don't have anything else to announce. I think Mark covered it all. If I think of anything, I'll let you know. So let's go.
Please stand as we begin our service with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have given us to come and gather together and worship you. Just thank you so much for your love, for your son. And we just ask that we give all the glory to you this morning. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you the word Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven. At his table we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna.
Our children, we'll have them come forward so they can lead our church in the affirmation of faith. See? Giving candy to parents and all that kind of stuff.
What is an affirmation of faith? What do? You want me to answer that? Well, you got it?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I can say something. So for our visitors who may not be familiar with the United Methodist Church, we affirm our faith through reciting certain beliefs. It's kind of like renewing our baptism vows each and every week. This is not a practice that all churches participate in, but it is in our United Methodist Church. So just so those of you who are visiting, so you might be aware that their kids also lead us in that. Creed. I think I'm finished.
Well, in that case, are you guys ready? Healing, healing. Right. I like it. So let's lead our church, okay? We'll do our affirmation of faith and have them follow along with us. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Shall we?
follow Ms. Jennifer as we...
All right. You have any other announcements?
No.
No, okay.
Not at the moment.
All right, as the kids make their way out to Children's Church, this is a time in our service where we have this time of greeting. And so I would encourage you to do that, greet your neighbors, and if there's a person you don't know out there, don't know well, go to them.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain firm beneath my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing, oh hallelujah, hallelujah. Surprising, I can feel it rising, all the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God song rising up in me. Stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wondered how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Savior's love for me.
as we continue to give this time to our Lord and Savior, to give him our all in all, because he is the one that is worthy of all of our praise. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I'm in dry, you fill my cup. You are my all.
You okay, Carol? You gonna make it?
No, I got it.
Heimlich. Oh goodness! Oh my. Sorry for all the confusion up here. There's a lot of activity going on, and notes being passed to me, and so forth. But we continue to worship and praise the Lord for the blessings that God has given to us. So we come to that time in our service where we have our prayer. And I just wanted to pass on a note that Norma Hartzell, right? Am I saying that correct, Norma? Just informed me, and she said it's okay for me to share with the congregation that she's going to be having bypass surgery this Thursday. So that's big surgery. So we want to be sure to lift her up in prayer and keep her in mind. And those of you who know her well and know their family, her husband and so forth, will certainly want to be as supportive as we can possibly be. So that'll be this Thursday. I was out of town this week for military duty, so I'm not aware of anyone that was in the hospital. If you're aware of somebody in the hospital or in extra need of prayers, just let me know, or you can raise your hand, shout it out, whatever. All right. Yes. Suman.
Okay.
If you didn't hear that, Suman, some people call her Suman, said that she's still recovering. It's too cold to come out. It bothers her leg. So after it gets 60 degrees, well, then she'll come out to church. I don't know when that's going to be. So, yes. Yes. Oh, we are?
It's in the
Okay.
No, ma'am. It was.
We're letting you know right now. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's good to know that, right? No, and we need those available in case. Yes. Thank you, Sharon. Appreciate you. Appreciate you sharing that with me. All right. Well, today's prayer actually is a it's pre-written by Bishop Kenneth Carter. He's the bishop of the Florida Conference and also serves the president of the Council of Bishops. And so he did a presentation for clergy, for us clergy in this area, earlier this week. And so I thought his prayer was so nice that I received a copy of it. And then I want us to join in his prayer because I think his thoughts reflect the thoughts of all of us as United Methodists. So in that light, let us pray. O God, whose nature and name is love, we pray for the light that shines in the darkness, the radiant light that we see in the face of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Give us the faith to grow in his likeness, and give us the confidence to follow him. We pray for the faithfulness of the church, that we would walk in your ways, trusting in your providence, listening to your voice. We pray for the fruitfulness of the church, that we would make new disciples of Jesus Christ in new places and in new ways for the transformation of the world. And we pray for the unity of the church, that we would live with the heart of peace, and insofar as it depends on us, that we would seek to live in peace with all people. May the words of these pages and the meditations of our hearts be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you. And may we, the people called Methodists, more fully offer to the world the grace that we have received, the grace that has brought us safe thus far, and the grace that will lead us home. So in the name of Jesus, our teacher and healer, and for the sake of his body, of this church, we offer these words. And then we pause, dear Lord, to offer words for those who are ill today, those who are lonely, isolated, bedridden, at home. And we pray for those who will be facing surgery in the coming days. And we pray that your spirit of peace will cover them and assure them that you are always with them. We offer these words in the name of Jesus, who taught us the prayer to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Isaiah was the most prolific prophet of the Old Testament. He was a true man of God. And in chapter 6 of Isaiah, he records his face-to-face encounter with God. And he came away from that saying, Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And then one of the angels attending God brought a coal from the furnace, touched his lips, and said, You've been purified. Now go tell the story. Let's pray. Father, we know that as we gather here today to worship you, as we gather to speak the name of Jesus, as we gather to give our hearts, our lives, whatever it is that you require, Father, we offer it up to you gladly. And Father, in this time when we receive your tithes and our offerings, we ask that you would move each one of us to give in faithfulness and give in obedience to meet the needs of this congregation, to reach this community. And Father, as the reach of this church extends around the world, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all of the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Fantastic job, Eric. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is writing and he's helping us understand our place. And he begins in verse 12. And he says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot would say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all teachers? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Receive the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Ben. I appreciate you reading that to us. Ben, for those of you who do not know him, and I think most people here, but he is our lay leader in the church. And so that position blesses him with the opportunity to be able to help with the worship service, and so I'm grateful to him. It's a long lesson, but it's a lesson that we certainly need to hear today. You will notice in my messages, you know, all preachers have a tendency to preach about a certain thing. Is that right, Carol? I'm looking at you because I know you've heard a lot of preachers. And so the thing that I tend to preach a lot about is God's grace and God's acceptance of everyone. So you'll probably hear, you know, depending how long I'm here, you'll probably hear several sermons on this on this subject matter repackaged in different ways. Now, the reason why this subject matter is so dear to me and so important is because I continue to read about young people who take their lives. This week I read about a 10-year-old taking his life. What are you know, and I don't know the circumstances, I just read about it in probably the same article you read, and I think it was in the paper today. It wasn't here in Texas, but nevertheless, it's tragic. I feel like perhaps these individuals are disconnected. Perhaps they don't feel loved or accepted, valued. So there's something there, right? And it's not just the young people. When I visit certain people in nursing homes, and a common question that's generally asked is, why am I here? What's my purpose? And there's a sense, a sadness of isolation. It's like, I've already served my time. I've already done what I was supposed to do. And it's almost as if these individuals just feel alone and by themselves, as if God doesn't exist in their lives anymore, doesn't care. And then, of course, you read about, or you hear about these horrific shooting events, like we just had another one this week. And, you know, it's me, it seems like it's always the younger people that are doing the shooting. Not always, but where's the disconnect? What happened for them to react in such a violent way and just start shooting people? You have to wonder, do they just feel by themselves and they're angry for whatever reason and just festers inside them? So when I consider all these things, I think, you know, we cannot do enough as a church than to preach about and to teach, speak about the grace of God and how the grace of God is with all of us, each one of us. And so today's lesson is entitled All in the Family, which you're familiar with that title, right? So I thought I would make reference to a few TV programs that depict family life, and I hope that it will introduce our topic for today. So for those of us who are older, which that's many of us, we all remember the 70s TV series All in the Family. Maybe the younger ones have seen reruns. And, it was a great show. I can remember just thinking back on it. It was a show that our family, my family, we actually watched together at home. And I loved it. I loved watching Archie, the father, bicker with his son-in-law, Michael, or Meathead is what he would call him. So the two were always at opposite ends, right? You remember the show, they were always opposite ends. And because Archie carried the values of his generation, which was presumably conservative, and Michael carried the value of his generation, which was presumably liberal. And then there was Edith, the wife, right? And Gloria, bless their hearts. I think their whole purpose in the TV series was to make sure that Michael and Archie talked to each other and get along, right? It was a dysfunctional family in a number of ways. However, what's important for us to remember is that they all needed each other. They all deeply loved each other because they needed each other. And each person in that house was of value. As long as they were together, they were strong. But perhaps you remember that the series started to wane a little bit, come to an end, when Michael got a new job teaching in California. And when he got that, it's like, oh no, this is terrible. And then they ultimately ended up moving to California. And I can remember being somewhat upset about this. I think the series aired back in 1978. Because the family was going to break up. So all these episodes that showed Michael and Archie arguing with each other, it was all going to come to an end. And sure enough, the show did start to lose its appeal. And there tried to be a couple of spinoffs. There was Archie's Place, you remember that? And Gloria's, and they just didn't last. So, to move to another example, the current family TV program, which began back in 2009, that shows differences between family members, is a series called Modern Family. Are you familiar with Modern Family? Well, if you're not, just go with me. It's a crazy group of people. It's an older man, a much younger Latina woman, a conventional couple, and a gay couple. The conventional couple have three kids. They're all different, as kids will be, right? And the gay couple adopted a little Asian girl, completing one big, straight, gay, multicultural, traditional, happy family. The difference of this show is that we do not see the characters really arguing over each other about their differences. You don't see them arguing or, stereotyping other people about their differences. Instead, they seem to embrace their differences and just value just being a big family. And there's no preaching going on in the house. And so it is clear that each family member feels as though they are part of the family. And that's the important part of what we can glean from this show. Yes, there's drama because it's a TV program, but the idea of the family being united is more important. And then for those of you who are really young, which is this row right here and a couple of folks over here, perhaps you're familiar with the show This Is Us, right? Oh, I see we have some fans of This Is Us. Here again, if you don't know the show, just go along with me. So this show started in 2016, so it's relatively new. It's a powerful series featuring a young couple and their three children. Each child is different from the others, right? There is the athletic son who's handsome, talented, passionate, popular, sensitive. He's the creative son. There is a sister who is depicted as struggling with her self-image because she's overweight. And she's overweight in the series. And then there's the adopted son. The adopted son, and he's very logical, conventional, right, and smart. So they're all a little bit different. But this television series shows how these three kids interact with each other as they go through all their stages of life. Very cleverly put together. It's not always good between the kids, especially when they were younger, but it was clear that they deeply loved each other, very much so. And they loved their parents, one of whom is an alcoholic or struggled with alcoholism. But no matter, they were family, and in that house, each person was a tremendous value. So the common ground in these three television shows is the emphasis on family and the acceptance of all the family members, all the members of the family. And I realize these programs are only a sampling of the many family shows we could all identify with that were special to us that aired over the years, but I hope you see the example I'm trying to point out, at least in these three TV series. Now, the tie to our lesson today is that the Church of Corinth was a fractured family. You may remember from your own Sunday school studies, whatever, that Paul was deeply concerned that this church was going to break apart because we had these leaders started emerging from the church, and then a cluster of people would follow this leader, another cluster would follow this, a Sunday school class would go with this guy, and, you know, UMW group would follow this guy, and so they were not united as a church. They were divided. And Paul knew that a divided church would not last long. And so today's lesson is on gifts and graces, as you saw. And Paul challenged the people to see each other as one big family, children, that they are all children of God. And since they were one big family, they should work to be a family, to be united. Verse 25 reads that there may be no dissension within the body, but that the members may have the same care for each other. Remember when Ben read that? That the members have the same care. And then verse 26 states, if one member suffers, all suffer together. Further demonstrating the value of each person in the church of Corinth. And Jews and Gentiles were considered equal members of the family. They were not divided. It's not like, oh, these are these folks and these are these folks. But they were united, as noted in verse 13 of our message. And this would be a theme that Paul would carry with him and to other churches, such as the church in Galatia, which was also struggling with their identity. Here again, egos coming to the surface and so forth. And Galatians 3:26 records Paul's depiction of what God's family should look like. He was telling them, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. All children of God, not just some, but all children of God. He kept on hammering that point in that particular letter to the church of Galatia. So I have this button that was presented to me. I left it in my office, but I think I can remember. There's this button that was presented to me at one of our annual conferences, one of our annual clergy lay leader meetings, and there's all kinds of booths laid out and representing various ministries of the church. And there's this one booth that was representing reconciling ministries. Now, if you went to my presentation the other day at Sunday school, you know that reconciling ministries is the liberal arm of our church. So they're handing out paraphernalia, just like the conservatives hand out stuff. So I'm walking, and I got this button. So I go, oh, well, thank you. Thank you very much. So I look at this button later on, because I didn't look at it at the time, but I looked at it later on, and I read it, and it said, y'all means all. Y'all means all, and then it shows, and then it has all these labels, you know, man, woman, children, gay, straight, and, you know, and it's describing all these different kinds of people, black, white, brown, whatever. Y'all means all. And I thought, well, that's actually a good thing. I don't consider that as liberal or progressive. It's just a good message, I thought. And so, and let us not forget that it was Jesus who reached out to touch the hearts of the multitude of people with numerous backgrounds. His ministry was directed to Jews and non-Jews, Gentiles. Alike and equally. He didn't favor one side to the other, as you know from your scripture readings. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, it quotes Jesus as saying, whoever does the will of my Father in heaven, whoever does that will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother, all in the family. All in the family. I just think that this is an important message that we just need to remind ourselves over and over again. And particularly in today's world, you know, where our nation is so divided, this message can really resonate well and give our country a sense of hope again. That I just think that this message, we need to remind our neighbors and citizens of this message. And we need to remind them that our country is made up of a variety of people from different backgrounds, but that's okay. God loves us all. Loves us all, not just some, but all. All means y'all. I just think that's an important message. But you know what, my friends? There are those in this world who want us to believe that God only loves the righteous and the obedient. There are those in our world who want us to believe that God only loves Christians and not Muslims or not Jews or not Buddhists, etc., etc., etc. I wonder if somebody asked Jesus that. I don't understand that. There are even some Christian groups who believe that only a limited number of people can join God in God's kingdom. Are you aware of that? Christian groups. So like the Reformed churches believe that only the elected or predestined can be saved. It doesn't matter what anybody does. It's whether they were elected before, even before they were born. The Church of Jehovah's Witness, I'm not going to ding them because they have great people, right? But they believe, and this is in their literature, that only 144,000 people will go up to heaven. That's it. 144,000 people. If you're not one of the 144,000 people, I don't even know if they have that many in their denomination, but if you're not one of those 144,000 people, you could be the Pope. It doesn't matter. You won't go to heaven. Now, this is based off their interpretation of the book of Revelations, chapter 7 and 14. You want to look that up. But I want to say this, my friends, because I think it's important for us to hear. This is not the viewpoint of the United Methodist Church. We don't hold the same viewpoint as some other groups do, Christians or non-Christians. For example, in Holy Communion, I think I've said this before, we offer the invitation for everyone to come and receive the grace of God through the sacrament of the elements. Everyone. That would be baptized and non-baptized, Christians or unbelievers. It doesn't really matter. It's not like we're going to say, oh, I'm sorry, you can't do that. So several years ago, I wasn't doing some military training, and so I was away from the church. So I decided just to visit churches on my own. And so I went to, I'm trying to remember. Seems like the Lutherans, Missouri Synod, and the Roman Catholics were very strict about who could take communion, which puzzled me. It's like, really? I know, right? You're supposed to do this sign, right? So when you come up, put a sign of the cross. I said, no one's going to keep me from taking the sacrament. So I would go right up there, you know, and just take the sacrament, because they didn't know if I was Catholic or not, or Lutheran or not. I mean, they didn't know that. Who would dare? Who would dare say, oh, I'm sorry, could I see your Catholic credentials? No. Nobody would do that. But there are some folks that are like that. But the United Methodist Church is different. And how can I say this? I can say this because our church believes that God's grace is big enough for everyone. Our church believes that everyone should experience the grace of God because everyone is a child of God. Everyone's worth. Now, last Sunday, I read to you Martin Luther King's, one of his sermons, most of it, not all of it, but most of it. Received a lot of good feedback. Thank you. And but while I was researching that sermon, there was another sermon I was tempted to read to you. I'm not going to do it again today. But there's some sentences from that. It's actually not a sermon. It was a speech that was given to a group of junior high kids by Martin Luther King back in just 6 months before he was assassinated. So he's asked to address a group of junior high kids in Philadelphia. This is what he tells them, that I think are pretty profound words. He says, number one in life's blueprint should be a deep belief in your own dignity, your own worth. Don't allow anybody to make you feel that you are a nobody. Always feel that you count. Always feel that you have worth. Always feel that your life has ultimate significance. And it's a great sermon. Here again, you can Google it. It's wonderful. It's not a sermon, I mean, I'm sorry, it's a speech, but it's a great speech, very powerful. You remember the lesson that Jesus gave as recorded in the 15th chapter of Luke? This is the story of the prodigal son. You remember the story of the prodigal son? There's one son that's obedient, and there's one that's not obedient, right? But the father loved both of his children equally. Did he not? Do you remember that? You know, a parent does not love one child over another. They may like one child over another, but the love is equal between all the kids, right? And by the way, the father of this story is depicted as the Father, God. And the two boys could represent the Jews and the Gentiles. And you can decide who is the most obedient. But it didn't matter. Because in this story, the Father loved them all. They were one family. You see, my friends, when we're all together, even though we may not all see eye to eye on matters, I get that. But when we're all together, our family is whole. But when some of us breaks away, it fractures the body, weakens the body, and we lose something very important. We lose a member of the family. And a fractured family, a divided family, eventually fades away, just like the TV series All in the Family. So let us remember, honor, and celebrate who we are individually, but also collectively as family members, because each of us is gifted and blessed. Each of us is gifted and blessed, young, old, black, white, doesn't matter, underweight, overweight, it doesn't matter. Each of us is gifted and blessed in our own unique way, and each of us has something to add to this family, which we call church. Amen. I felt like I could go a little bit longer today because there's no football games. If there's a football game, I'm always looking back at Bob, and he's getting anxious like this. He's over there waving flags, you know, clicking flashlights and so forth. I didn't feel that pressure today. Those of you who'd like to know more about the United Methodist Church, feel free to speak to me after the service, or better to try to meet with me at some time, or give me a call, give me a text or whatever. And we can talk more about what the United Methodist Church means. Or perhaps you just want to commit your life again to Jesus Christ. You just feel like you're disconnected. Here again, we can have time at the altar. But I just want to give you that invitation. So, what are we going to have next?
A hymn.
Thank you for keeping me in line. Well, let me look at the bulletin because I can't think. It says a hymn right here. They'll know that we are Christians by our
love.
Oh, did you do that on purpose? Did you pick that on purpose? No, you didn't. You just picked out some. No, that's great. Thank you so much.
Please stand as we join together.
And they'll know.
Yay, that's great. Love the drums. Love the drums. All right, before we benediction, let me just remind you once again a plug about the opportunity we're going to have tonight to hear some wonderful music. And I know we're all busy, we got things to do, but you know, as one preacher told me, we do what we want to do. I mean, and that's really true. We do what we want to do. So I'm just going to invite you to come out and support Eric and the other musicians that will be out here this evening at 5 o'clock. I think the program lasts for about an hour, I'm guessing, right? Carol's buying steaks for everybody. Well, you know, you got to eat, right? You got to eat. No, I'm just kidding, Carol. Oh, I feel silly today for some reason. I don't know why. So that's tonight, 5 o'clock. Leadership, we have a district meeting this afternoon from 2 to 4. For those of you who can make it, if you want a carpool, I'll be here. I'll be glad to do that with you. All right, well, let us receive these words from Paul as he gave this advice to the Church of Corinthians, and we can take these words out into our community as we go and witness the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, love is patient, and love is kind, and love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never ends. Amen. All right, let's join hands together as we sing our ascending song.
I'm so glad Jesus, as we travel.